Dr. Gandhi, how did you end up in Rochester, New York?
So I came to the United States in 1987. And then, you know, one thing led to another, and there was a lot of interest here in the United States in Gandhi and his philosophy, and so I started an institute for the for nonviolence to teach people what nonviolence is. And that was initially in Memphis, Tennessee. But then my wife's health started deteriorating, and it was very difficult for me to leave her home alone and travel. So my daughter, who lives here in Rochester for about 30 years, she asked me to come here and so she could help take care of Mom. And that's how we moved to Rochester in 2004. And my wife died in 2007, and my daughter now won't let me go anywhere. She said, you're here with me.
Talk a little bit about, though, growing up as a young boy in South Africa. You lived through apartheid, and then you had your grandfather's unfortunate assassination. How difficult of a time was that for you, and where it's put you today in this place of promoting nonviolence?
Well, it was a very difficult time because it, I spent about 2 years with him just before his assassination. And in fact, in 1947, November, after India became independent, my parents decided it was time to go back to South Africa and resume their work there. And so we left in November of 47. And 2 months later, my grandfather was assassinated. So all those memories of being with him for 2 years and learning so many important things from him were still fresh in my mind. And so my initial reaction upon hearing the news was one of anger. And I was so angry and frustrated that I told my parents, I wish I was there, I would have throttled the man who did this. And my parents reminded me of the lessons that grandfather taught me, and he said he wouldn't appreciate this kind of talk from you. Instead, he would appreciate your dedicating your life to see that this kind of mad violence doesn't take place anymore.
What is it like to try to live his legacy and promote nonviolence and peace throughout the world?
It is quite a tremendous legacy. You know, when I was growing up and as a teenager, I found it quite a burden because a lot of people expected so many things from me, and I didn't know that I would be able to fulfill all those expectations. And one day I told my mother about it, and my mother said, well, it's entirely up to you. If you consider this legacy to be a burden, it's just going to get heavier and heavier. But if you consider this legacy that is a light that is illuminating the path ahead for you, it will become easier for you to deal with. And so since then, I've considered this legacy as a light that is illuminating the path for me. And that's why I've dedicated my life to promoting peace and nonviolence and harmony in the community.
How do you teach the younger generation, the children, our teenagers, to promote this as well?
One of the things that I explain to them is, first of all, they need to understand what is peace and what is violence and how do we all contribute to it. You know, we seem to think that peace is the absence of war, that as long as we are able to create a situation where there is no war, that we are living in peace. And that is not true, because, as I said, we commit violence in many different ways. And it's only through our own introspection and understanding of our own weaknesses that we will be able to change those weaknesses to strength. If we don't change and don't change our attitudes and our relationships with each other, we are never going to be able to create harmony in society. And if there is no harmony in society, then there will never be any peace in society.
You are coming to Buffalo Sunday, November 11th. You'll be the keynote speaker at the Peace Matters event. It is, of course, an initiative, what they're bringing, to break the cycle of what they say is breaking the cycle of poverty and overcoming the tragedy of violence here in our queen city of Buffalo. What we are experiencing here in Buffalo, one of the poorest cities in the nation, we have a large amount of a new population of immigrants and refugees seeking life in our city, seeking a U.S. American lifestyle. With that, we have street gang violence, guns, drugs that the city can't always get ahead of. How, in that condition and climate, will you talk about promoting nonviolence to our city and what we're experiencing here?
Well, first of all, we have to remember, we can understand what grandfather meant by nonviolence by first understanding the amount of violence that we practice. And it's not just the physical violence that torments human society, but it's the passive violence, the non-physical violence in form of discrimination, oppression, exploitation, and hundreds of things that we do to one another in society. And all of that adds to the violence. And so we have to address all of these different issues. Now, there are lots of disparities in the world everywhere. There are very rich people and very poor people, and there is no bridge between the two. And so we need to create that kind of a bridge where the rich can share some of their wealth to help the poor attain a better standard of living, create conditions where everybody could coexist in peace and harmony. And it's not difficult to do. It needs that kind of dedication and understanding of his philosophy of nonviolence.
Dr. Gandhi, how have you overcome controversies of different statements that perhaps you've made that people misunderstand?
Well, I have tried to explain them and hope that they would understand what I'm trying to say there, but if they don't understand, and if there's very little I can do about it, then I just have to hope that eventually wisdom will prevail.
You are 78 years old. You still travel and inspire people. How do you keep up the energy? What inspires you?
Well, my grandfather used to always say that peacemakers are like farmers. Just as a farmer goes out into the field and plants seeds and hopes and prays that eventually he will get a good crop, in the same way I consider myself to be a peace farmer, and I just go out and plant seeds in the minds of people and hope and pray that those seeds will germinate and eventually people will understand the value of nonviolence and practices.
I'm going to end on a note of, on your website it says, be the change you want to see in the world. Tell us final thoughts, how we can all do that.
Well, one of the things that my grandfather used to insist when I lived with him is every morning I have to get up and make this conscious decision that I'm going to be a better human being today than I was yesterday. And in order to do that, I had to make a list of all the weaknesses that I found in my own character, in my behavior, in my attitudes, and then every day commit myself to changing those weaknesses into strengths. And I continue to do that every day, every morning. And that's how I have been able to become a better human being. And I hope that everybody does the same thing. I mean, we are expected to be civilized human beings. And civilization doesn't mean just getting a university degree or being able to get a good job or something. Civilization means how do we relate to each other, or how much compassion and love we have for fellow human beings and for fellow creatures. And if it's only if we are able to live happily and in harmony with all of nature, that we would truly become civilized.
Dr. Arun Gandhi, thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to your visit to Buffalo.
Thank you, and I look forward to the visit too. I hope there will be a lot of people there to listen and to learn, basically, from my own experiences.